Hello and a warm welcome to another edition of the Debate on Press TV. I'm your host, Behrouz Najafi. Now, the escalating trade war between the United States and China has overshadowed world markets and economic growth worldwide, especially that of China. The bilateral trade imbalance between the two economic powers has been one of Trump's main complaints for a long time. He accuses China of draining the U.S. Trump has threatened with additional tariffs on all Chinese goods if a deal is not reached. Now, what is he after? How will China act? And how could things unfold? That's what we will discuss in this edition of The Debate. Let's first cross over to Philadelphia and talk to Press TV's Ronnie Carvalho for an update on what appears to become a full-fledged trade war between the U.S. and China. Ronnie, over to you.
Well, when you say American products, that is a very disputable. I mean, Chinese products is very disputable, because what the United States usually to do is like send raw material to China as export, and then when they assembly, which is very low, at very low cost in China, and send it back to the United States, their own product, that was this considered import. So United States, if goes with that ridiculous war, they will be taxing their own product twice. And you have to remember that the Chinese, in the case of the soybean, for example, they export $12 billion. They can go to Brazil with the sales commodities to China for a long time ago. If they want to have a problem with the aircraft that China buys from the United States, they can go to Canada, to Europe, to Airbus in France. They can go to Brazil, to Embraer, to go to Ukraine. So the automobile that the United States export $10 billion, they also have many, many other options. So when you say that you have you want to impose some tariffs, I believe that is a big bluff from the United States.
All right, thank you for that. That was Ronnie Carvalho, our correspondent, joining us. Now let me introduce our guest joining us on this, the political commentator, Jason Ruha from Ontario. And also editor of Veterans Today, Mike Harris, will be joining us from Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you both gentlemen for joining us. Now, beginning with you, Jason, President Trump has threatened to impose billions of dollars worth of new tariffs on China if his talks next month with Chinese President Xi Jinping fail to reach a new trade deal. Now, trade talks between the two sides have so far failed to make headway this year. Now, do you think China will back down in the face of Trump's fresh threats?
Well, to be perfectly honest, I really don't know for certain whether or not they're going to back down. I was of the opinion that Canada was not going to back down when faced with the same dilemma with Trump, but it seems that we folded quite easily. I think China will be a significantly more difficult target to intimidate into following this U.S. unilateral decision to rewrite trade agreements. I think given the amount of economic power China has in this situation, it will make it certainly much more difficult to simply force them to bend to U.S. will. In this situation, I think that there's much more going on here than just simply trade. There is a dispute over Taiwan. There is dispute over who owns the South China Sea and the oil that was found in it a few years ago. So I think that if this were merely trade, I'm not certain, but I lean more towards China certainly standing up for themselves in this situation, given that there is much more going on in this situation. We should also understand that it's very much a cultural value in China and many other Asian countries to save face in situations like this, to simply back down in a situation where there's this kind of threat going on. It could make the ruling Communist Party seem weak. It could make them seem vulnerable, which would weaken their stature in the eyes of the Chinese people. So I think that while I'm a little bit divided on what might happen, I'm fairly certain that China will stand its ground in this situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let's go to Phoenix. Mike Harris, Donald Trump is saying that he thinks that the U.S. will make a great deal with China. And he has told Fox News it has to be great. Now, will a trade confrontation between the world's two big economies become more acute, or do you think it will ease down?
I think for the near term, it may become more acute. For the long term, it will definitely be easing down, because it's in both parties' interest to come to a viable compromise. There's other things on the table here besides the oil in the South China Sea and Taiwan. We've had, China has been stealing intellectual property from the U.S. for decades. The U.S. has had some very major policy blunders under Bill Clinton in particular, whenever he allowed China into GATT, into the WTO. This allowed China access to our entire patent portfolio, which really we gave them 50 years worth of research and development over less than a 5-year period of time, and that's allowed them to modernize their country to a point that they shouldn't be at right now if they had to depend on internal growth. So what Trump is trying to do is, we can't afford to be shipping $500 billion a year in a trade deficit. What he's looking to do is find a way to bring that trade deficit to parity, so that we are more equals, that we're not footing the bill in funding their economic growth and development. So there's a number of strategies to do that that I can talk about if you wish. Mm-hmm. But Trump's goal is not to embarrass the Chinese. He doesn't want to cost them face. Mm-hmm. But what he wants to do is to get the two parties to a position of trade parity with each other.
Okay. Now, Jason, Beijing is saying that the U.S. should talk to it in a, quote, serious, equal, and trustworthy manner if it intends to address Sino-U.S. trade issues through talks. Now, is the U.S. willing to treat China on an equal footing?
I sincerely doubt that the United States will talk seriously with China. The MO of Trump thus far has been to bully people into trade agreements that violate the ones that are perfectly standing. There seems to be some idea with Trump and much of the current administration that feels as though they can just make demands of other countries, as if somehow these agreements aren't two-way streets and that there should be a give and a take. It seems like it has been nothing but demands coming from the Trump administration, demanding that other countries bend to U.S. will. See, the Trump seems to have this false idea that somehow a trade deficit is a bad thing, and that a trade surplus is inherently a good thing. Well, this is just simply not true. There are multiple ways to look at this situation. Economics is not just so simple in this regard. In fact, for much of the trade deficit that has existed between the United States and China has led to an exponential growth in the living standards of the American people, because they have been able to get the same commodities that were once available now at a cheaper price, and it has made them available to people with lower incomes. So I think that's kind of an oversimplification that doesn't take into account the overall economic situation of not just the United States, but the world as well. But I don't think that the United States is going to come from an honest direction. I believe it is going to come from a stance that this is our country, we will do whatever we want, any standing agreements we will not live up to. And this has been the MO of the United States for some time now, particularly with regards to the presidency of Donald Trump, who has just simply canceled standing agreements just because he personally doesn't like them, regardless of the effort and the diplomacy that went into creating them to begin with.
Okay, Mike Harris, Washington says that China's effort to get hold of American technology are an existential threat to the future of U.S. economy. China denies the accusation. Is China's access to U.S.-made technology an existential threat to U.S. economy?
Well, absolutely. When you have American companies that spend, billions of dollars in R&D, and when that technology is stolen, and there's no R&D cost on for the China, their Chinese counterparts, their Chinese competitors, it gives the Chinese competitor a tremendous price advantage, because when an American company would sell a product, it has to offset that cost of R&D. If China doesn't incur that, they don't have that cost to offset. So what this does is it positions U.S. business for failure, for bankruptcy, actually. And so U.S. intellectual property has to be protected above all else. And China's got to stop cheating. And the problem we have here is, what China doesn't steal, the Israelis will steal on their behalf and sell it to them. So we've we've got, you know, a number of thieves out here who are committing industrial espionage against American manufacturers, American R&D. And so these things have to be rectified, and these things have to be punished. Because we, you know, if you're stealing our IP, we have the right to tariff you to offset the competitive advantage that you stole from us. That's really what it comes down to.
Yeah, of course, Beijing denies that. Now, let's go to Jason.
Of course.
The Washington Post says in a report that China has a big, potent weapon that it hasn't used in the trade war yet, and that is its tourists. If the trade war persists, China can slice the $60 billion that Chinese tourists and visitors and students spend each year in the U.S. Is President Trump aware of this turmoil that a trade war can make to the U.S. economy?
Probably someone has told him along the way that this is a potential weapon that China could use. Now, exactly how effective that weapon would be, I'm not entirely certain. I don't really have the latest information on exactly what it is that Chinese tourists spend around the world. But it doesn't really seem like it's something that would be all that effective to me, because China would essentially have to go through a very strong policy of not allowing people to visit. And that doesn't seem something that they're willing to do during this current stage of opening up the economy. I could see it as possibly being something that would be one of the last resorts they would take. However, I don't think it's something that China's really willing to do at this time. I think that in the overall context of trade between the two countries, this is rather small in comparison, perhaps some kind of side tool that they could wield, but the domestic cost of carrying out such a policy might be politically costly in this situation. As it is right now, China is already carrying out a crackdown on many of the striking workers, or many of the workers' issues that have been appear right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't think it's really viable for China to do so.
Right. Mike, Trump says that I can make a deal right now. I'm quoting him. I can make a deal right now, he told Fox News. They're not ready. In what way is China not ready, in your opinion? What's Trump waiting for to gain? And what is it that China has to compromise on?
Well, China has some structural issues to contend with there. They've experienced unprecedented growth here over the last 20 years. I mean, we're talking between 6% and 8% and 9% annual GDP growth year over year. And their whole economy is tooled for rapid growth. So how are they going to be able to throttle that down to where they can only have 3%, 4%, 5% growth, which is something more typical but would be sustainable over the long term? With the Chinese growth model as it is, it forces them to be predatory and mercantilist in their approach to other countries, other trading partners around the world. And so they're going to have to rethink their model, and they're really going to have to take some time and develop an internal consumption model instead of relying on exporting everything. Okay. They've got 1.3 billion people there. They are a prime market for internal consumption. And there's going to come a point in time where they're going to need to develop that in order to maintain the model that they've had in place if they wish to maintain that.
Okay. Now, last question. Jason, 30 seconds, please. Do you predict a breakthrough in talks between presidents of the U.S. and China? You know, they're going to meet on the side of the G20 summit in Buenos Aires next month.
Well, I sincerely think there's going to be a breakthrough at some point or another. I sincerely doubt this is going to reach a situation where simply the two sides are going to refuse to trade. That's not going to happen. As it stands right now, the United States needs China, and China needs the United States in order for both of them to be able to function. So there will be a breakthrough sooner or later.
Okay, Mike Harris, your opinion, 30 seconds, please.
Oh, absolutely. There will be a breakthrough. This impasse will not last very long at all. There's too much at stake for anybody to be stubborn. It's in both parties' interest to compromise and to come up with something that's a good working solution for all.
All right, great. On that note, we come to the end of this debate. Let me thank our guest, political commentator Jason Ruha from Ontario, and editor with Veterans Today, Mike Harris from Phoenix, Arizona. Thank you both, gentlemen. Thank you for watching The Debate. We'll see you next time.